Back home, a call for a specific law to address the crime of stalking. It follows revelations police failed a young Auckland law student who was later brutally murdered by a man she had complained to them about several times. 21-year-old Fazana Yakubi was stalked and repeatedly stabbed when she got off a bus in West Auckland in December 2022. She had complained to the police via the 10-5 online reporting system weeks earlier and included messages from the man, including one where he threatened to throw acid on her face. Nothing happened. Ms. Yakubi complained again, saying she feared for her life and made a statement in person. But at the time she was killed, police still hadn't taken any action. Well, joining me now is Associate Professor Carrie Leonetti, who is the co-director for the New Zealand Centre for Human Rights Law Practice and Policy. Kia ora, Carrie. We seem to have a bunch of laws, digital harm, harassment. Why aren't any of those working when it comes to stalking?
Kia ora. I think there are several problems with the existing laws. The first is that definitionally they just have huge gaps in them. So if you look, for instance, at the criminal harassment provision of the Harassment Act, it defines that harassment really narrowly. So the person has to know or intend to cause fear in the other person. The fear has to be for their safety, not other kinds of psychological damage. So the definition of criminal harassment is really outdated and not consistent with what we know the nature of most stalking is. But the other problem, I think, is just the disparate way the various acts that might constitute stalking are spread a bunch of different statutes. I mean, some stalking behaviors are caught under existing provisions of the Crimes Act, like threatening to do serious bodily harm to somebody is a crime in the Crimes Act. But because little pieces of the pattern of behavior that's stalking are in different statutes, we don't sort of have just this central conception that's, I think, more workable for the police of a freestanding crime of stalking. I think a good example of this is what happened when strangulation was criminalized a few years ago, because obviously strangulation has always been a crime. It's a type of aggravated assault. It might be an attempted murder. But defining it in clear, simple terms and giving it its own provision of the Crimes Act has radically increased the number of times people are arrested and charged for strangulation.
So, Carrie, sorry to interrupt, but on that point, are you basically saying that because this is spread across a number of laws, it's the too hard basket for the police and they don't escalate quickly enough when they hear complaints like this?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think a lot of frontline police officers like to think of crimes as a crime, right? What is the label that we attach to this? And so in the absence of a label of stalking, it becomes kind of a threat, kind of harassing, maybe a digitally harmful digital communication. But it almost becomes sort of more intellectually complex to try to conceptualize it. I also think the police just collectively don't really think stalking is that big of a deal. So part of the importance of having a criminal provision that carries a term of imprisonment as its sanction is it signals to the police, this is a dangerous crime. It causes harm and it often escalates to murder.
Why don't you think stalking is taken seriously by society as a whole?
I mean, we have a tendency to think about crime in terms of physical harm. We just don't tend to think about non-physical forms of crime very seriously. I think we have poor understandings of risk assessment. Stalking is actually predictively one of the most dangerous things someone can do in terms of escalating to lethality, but we don't
tend
to think
about killing someone, Carrie.
Yeah, killing somebody, yes, to murder. We don't tend to think about people who don't lay hands on other people as terribly dangerous, but they can be. I also think there's a gendered nature to some of why stalking isn't taken seriously. The vast majority of stalking victims are women. And I think we generally tend not to put a lot of urgency around women's safety and women's sort of psychological suffering. Just to give you an example, there are all these studies about what happens to when patients report pain to their doctors. And when men say they're in pain, they get pain medication. And when women say they're in pain, they don't. So like the opioid crisis in the United States is overwhelmingly a white man's crisis because their pain is taken seriously. And so I think part of it is when women go to the police, like Farzana did, and say, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to me, women's fear is treated as sort of a pat on the head experience. We just don't take women saying I'm afraid seriously. And a victim saying I'm afraid is a really important indicator of the actual risk that they're in. Victims are good barometers of their own risk.
So this initial concern from Farzana was reported online via the 10.5 system. So you can file an online report. How useful is that? Because nothing essentially happened.
Yeah, I think this is one of the more disturbing failures because while not all stalking involves intimate partner violence, Farzana's case didn't. Most stalking is done by current or former intimate partners of the victim. So a lot of victims of stalking actually cannot safely walk into a police station. I mean, they're being surveilled. If the perpetrator sees them going to a police station, they could be in more trouble. And so the ability to navigate online and make a report is actually probably more important for victims of stalking than a lot of other crimes. We know that stalking, like other forms of intimate partner violence, are woefully underreported to the police. And so there should be a system where any route a victim chooses to reach out gets an immediate response, but especially one you can do safely from home. I mean, a lot of victims of stalking don't leave their house because they're so afraid of the stalking. And so she reached out in the only safe way she had from within her home. And so it not only shouldn't be treated as less urgent, it should probably be treated as more urgent when people don't feel safe coming into police stations but make online reports instead.
Carrie, we're almost out of time, but your message, please, to the Justice Minister on this.
So both National and Labor committed before the election that if they were elected, they would criminalize stalking. I have never heard anyone make an argument on the merits as to why we shouldn't have a freestanding crime of stalking. This appears just to be a lack of urgency and a lack of priority compared to other things. It is more than a year past the murder of Farzana Yacoubi, and we are still talking about this like it's not an urgent priority. I don't want another woman to die before people are motivated to make this a legislative priority.
Thank you so much for your time. That is Carrie Leonetti, an associate professor. She is the co-director of the New Zealand Centre for Human Rights Law Practice and Policy.